Assalamu alaikum, good morning and thank you for joining us.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Now, firstly, you know, just to get an understanding, what agreement was in place when you were elected as member of the provincial parliament?
Okay, there was no agreement when I was elected as a provincial legislator. The agreement that we signed was prior to the elections, when we had our meetings where they stipulated that new members must pay 50% of their salary, but not from the gross salary, but from the net salary. And the paperwork that they sent into the HR of provincial parliament is that 50% of the gross salary. So if you work 50% out of the gross salary, it comes out of 36,000 rand per month. Mm-hmm. So I thought to myself, and I might as well go back to my old work, to my construction, and earn 10,000-11,000 rand a month again. And not doing all the stress and doing party work and all of that.
All right. Now, you know, what exactly happened when you complained about the deductions? You know, could there not be some middle way or mediation that would have taken place first?
No. Unfortunately, I went to the Voice paper last week, and it was in the Voice on Tuesday. And when the SG, the Secretary General Farid Ahmad, had stated that they've tried phoning me and send me emails from their attorneys and stuff to resolve the issue, and that is all blatant lies. They never tried to contact me in any way, not even the attorney contacted me. And that is where they decided that they want to remove me. But before that, prior to that, I went into office 22nd of May. I was sworn in on the 22nd of May. Mm. But prior to that, I was in induction for about 3 weeks in induction, doing schooling, how to sit in sittings, how to attend to your portfolio meetings, how to speak to people, and so on and so on. Mm. But then the guy that's in my position now, Khalil Brinkhuis, he was the oversight manager of Al Jamaa, where that his duty was to go see to all the offices and so on. And we had a meeting with him, me and my staff had a meeting with him, where he said in the meeting, the report that they actually sent to Hanif Hendricks is that myself and my staff is putting the party in disrepute and we have to be removed. That was on the 22nd of July already. So they've made up their mind by the 22nd of July already that they're going to remove me. But that only took place now on the 18th of October, where I got the letter from the speaker to say that I've been removed from the Al Jamaa party. I'm no more a member, and I can't be a member of provincial government if I'm not a member of the party.
Now, Monsieur, I'm just trying to understand, in terms of when this agreement technically was made prior to the elections, you know, with regards to giving off 50% of your salary, at that time, you did not have a problem with it. Why did the problem only arise, you know, after the elections, once you were in the provincial parliament?
No, the problem arises the moment I went into office, when I received the email from the finance guy that I owe the party 142,000 rand. And that's where I queried how come I owe the party 42,000 rand if I'm a pay, say, for instance, your salary is 50 grand a month, that's a net pay, then 50% of that is 25,000 rand. Where do you come from with 142,000 rand? And then we worked it out, and then came out that they want the 50% of my gross. That works out to 36,000 rand a month.
Okay.
And that's where I refused to pay that amount. And then I only paid 10%, like all the other parties is paying, 10% levy to the Al Jamaa party.
Okay, so now we also understand that the party has a huge amount of debt. Is this why you were asked to give off your salary?
Yes, on the debt side and the legal costs that they're talking about, Hanif said that they've got 4 credit cards that they have to cover. But prior to that also, there was meetings that were held in my office and at his home, where they said the debt was 400,000. And then all of a sudden, in the second meeting, the debt was 1 million rand. And then in the third meeting, the debt was 1.5 million. So when we question that, to say, but oh, so are the books and stuff, that we can know exactly what's going on. I mean, up to now, nothing came forward. they only mention that they got four credit cards that they must cover.
Mm.
So I cannot cover other people's debt from my salary.
Sure.
And you must still expect me to do party work and set up branches and go see people on a daily basis or something like that. Who's going to cover my petrol costs and stuff at the end of the day?
Mm.
You understand? And who's going to see to your family's affairs and,
sure.
and stuff like that?
Yes.
Because you take 36,000 rand off my salary, I go home with 14-15 grand at the end of the day. Who's gonna cover all the costs? That is the main issue. And it's not about the money at the end of the day, and it's not about the position at the end of the day. It's about they've been putting on my face as a premier candidate for the Western Cape.
Mm.
And in the beginning, it was like, listen, you go into the position. But then also, when I went into the position, nobody, not even Hanif Farid or Khalil Brankes, they never even one of them phoned or congratulated me to say, Ishak, well done on your achievement and something like that. So Khazad Khait was there from the beginning already because they never expected us to get a seat in the provincial government.
Mm. Now, of course, you know, speak to us. You know, once you were sworn into provincial parliament, you know, apart from the issue of this deduction, what other challenges did you face in office?
The challenges that I face in office is, number one, when I went into office, no staff was in office. I had to do everything by myself.
Okay.
Then staff came in the end of June, May, June, staff came in.
Mm.
And then end of July, August, staff was removed again. End of August, staff was removed. And then I had to work August, September, October, I had to work without staff.
Why were the staff removed?
For me, no reason was given. They said to my secretary and the finance people that you must move out of provincial office. You must go to the other offices. You must work in the other offices. But on that issue, the staff was still paid from my allowance that I got from provincial government.
Okay.
You must remember you get the secretarial allowance.
Yes.
And you get the constitutional allowance.
Yes.
That you get from provincial government, where you must sort out your staff, your PA, your accountant, your researcher, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And so on. And also you need staff. The moment you go into provincial or any parliament, you need staff because you've got about 7 or 11 portfolios that you
sure,
attend to.
Of course.
And if you want, like we are the small party, you only got one member in. So you can't attend all the committee portfolio meetings. That is where your staff comes in and your staff will assist.
Mm-hmm.
They won't be able to vote in these portfolios, but they can sit in and they can listen to whatever
sure.
has been discussed, make notes and come back to me, and then I can take it on from there.
Now,
but we couldn't do that because there was no staff.
Sure. Now, having said that, you know, Al-Jamar has basically asserted that you were fired for incompetence. Is that the case? You know, was there ever any assessment from the party leadership on your performance? I mean, you've just alluded to the fact that you're understaffed.
No. There was nothing from that side, nothing from this side. Not even when I went into office, they gave me a mandate to say, listen, you're Ishak. We want you to go onto that portfolio and that portfolio. The only thing that they came in was in June, end of June, when Khalil Brinkes told me that you must only belong to the education portfolio, which I filled in papers. Prior to that, I filled in papers for all the other portfolios because I was just thinking, this is our first time in Parliament. So the more we can, the more portfolios we can join. And that's where we get the learning curve, how to attend these meetings, how to see the certain things. If the issues come up like education, sport and recreation, and safety and security, health and all that, then you know exactly whoever comes in after you in office, you can give him tips and stuff like that. Listen, this is how stuff works and that is how you the meetings, this is how you speak to these people and all of that. But I couldn't do all of that because I didn't have any staff. I mean, I was alternative members on safety and security. I was an alternative member on education. I was a full member on health. I was a full member on the budget. I was a member on the premier committee. I was a member on the speakers committee and all that. I mean, that all takes time and all the meetings take place on a Tuesday from 9 until what time? or a Tuesday afternoon. Mm. So you've got basically you've got 3-4 meetings from 9 o'clock on Tuesday, and then the other meetings will take place after the work, say from 2 o'clock until whatever time at night.
Now, you know, speaking about the workings of Al-Jamaa, and, you know, aside from these challenges and issues, in your opinion, you know, do you think that Al-Jamaa is, oh, it could be too early to tell. I mean, the elections were just a few months ago. You know, we've gotten a seat in provincial as well as, you know, the national legislature. But just in terms of fulfilling that mandate, you know, finally, Al-Jamaa has a seat in parliament. It was a huge thing at the time. Lots of promises were made. You know, are they fulfilling the mandate?
No, my dear, up to now, I don't think anything has been fulfilled, not only from the Al-Jamaa side, but from all other parties as well. Because they've been using Dean First as the slogan. Al-Jamaa has been using Dean First and Islamic ethos and stuff. But if you call this Islamic ethos, and things like that, just firing a person without any disciplinary hearings, without calling him to any meetings, that is un-Islamic. For me, it's un-Islamic. And because he's a labor expert also, Hanif is a labor expert, and doing things like this, I mean, that is unconstitutional for me, unconstitutional.
And finally, Ishaq, will you be taking this matter further? You know, what is the process that will follow?
Yes, I'm taking it further. Just waiting on the court date and so on. And then I'm taking them to court on this issue. And another thing is that I'm not the only person that's paying 50%. There's councillors from Joburg, there's councillors from Durban, and there's a councillor in Cape Town that's paying 50% from the salary. And these people are not happy as well. So I'm not the only person that is doing this too. And like I mentioned to the Islam media this morning, if he can do it to me, I mean, I've been with the party since 2015, 2016, to that elections. And the things that we've done, I've been driving the cars and going on campaigns and stuff like that. And no reimbursements, nothing like that. I used some of my mom just passed away prior to the elections. And I use her inheritance money that I used to put in petrol in the car, buy the guy's food that was helping with the campaign and stuff like that. And this is what they do to you at the end of the day. Then I don't think with the elections coming up now in 2021, that new candidates going to have the same problem if the problem is not solved.
You know,
that is why I'm taking it on with him.
Have you, you know, during these months approached Hanif, you know, as the party leader, in terms of sitting down and discussing these issues? You know, what has communication been like from his side and not necessarily the lawyers, so to speak?
No. You see, with trying to get hold of Hanif, that was a bit of a problem. Mm-hmm. Because what he mentioned in the meetings when we went into office is that they mustn't disturb me or him for the first 6 months because we're in a learning curve. You understand? Mm. So we're not, whatever people that's coming forward with any complaints and so on, we're going to put it on hold for the first 6 months. And then after the 6 months, that is where we're going to tackle issues and stuff like that. But when I went into office, when I was sworn in, I immediately took on issues because we had the issue with the Ikhlas in the school. We had issue with the School of Sport in Krijfontein. Mm. With our loud issue, we had the issue with the school in Delha, the Islamic school in Delha. That is things where I took on my own initiative, and I took it on. And then he sent me an email to say, I must sort out the Ikhlas in here. I must leave all my work and tackle the issue with Ikhlas in the school. And that's what I did. And I've got information and that from the school and from provincial government to say that things are going to be resolved and so on and so on. And then I took on the issue of the school in Surrey Primary, where Surrey has been asking the provincial government to rebuild the school for the last 10, 15 years. It's all issues that I took on my own, not any mandate from the party or something like that.
All right. Ishaq Diyar, let's leave it at that for today. Thank you so much for providing some insight on the matter. We do appreciate it. We'll also try and get some comment from Al-Jamaa's side as well, just to flesh things out a bit more. But we wish you all of the best and thank you for your time.
Go
well. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.